No, marriages didn't always look incredible to me. I mean, like, some of these dudes' Instagram anniversary posts, my God. You're the strongest woman I've ever known.
What did you do to her, Kyle?
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
How come in the entire history of our planet has not one person walked off the edge of the Earth, Mark? How come not one person has walked off the flat edge and fallen to their death? And he said, he genuinely said, oh, yeah, there's an ice barrier, so it catches them.
Oh.
And I was like, oh. Well, it makes sense now.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Ah, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is the badass bitch boss, Kristen Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Kristen.
Best to you, Brian.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe.
I never know what it's going to be.
You never know. My head's always turning in the shower at night when I'm masturbating. Well, I'm currently on the sideline for masturbating, but, you know, it's not that I'm thinking about you. I'm thinking about what nasty words can I call you. But I thought badass bitch boss was cool.
I like it.
So I said badass bitch boss.
I like it.
Because it's true. It's all the girls that are running this place. Don't let me fool you. I do all the talking, but the real success of the show is with this crew.
Behind the scenes.
Yeah, all the other people that are working on my behalf. So thank you. Thank you. Best to you, Chrissy.
Best to you.
When I say best comedy movie of all time, what is your go-to? Just think of one. You don't have to, like, we don't have to pontificate about it. Just give me the first thing that comes out of the top of your head. You're one of your favorite movies to watch comedy wise.
Well, I mean, I think that Animal House is always up there.
Okay.
With
all right.
Of them. Yeah, but as far as, I mean, you know, we're in the Christmas season right now, and yep. I love that
Vacation?
One. No, well, I do love Vacation, and that one has quite a few memorable moments.
Oh, my
but
God. It's so
the,
funny.
What's the Seth Rogen one? The last.
Oh, the last night before Christmas. Night before. Yeah, night before.
It's pretty funny.
Oh, it is pretty funny.
I mean,
mainly because they are just torn up. I mean, the amount of drug use that goes on in that movie is incredible. You know, Harold and Kumar's like Christmas,
the White Castle
Christmas, or the Christmas movie with. Who's Neil Patrick Harris is really fucking funny too. And I always think of those two movies because they have, I don't know, they have similar senses of humor. But what I think of when someone says best comedy movie of all time, certainly best mockumentary of all time, is Spinal Tap.
Oh, of course.
Spinal Tap is brilliant.
Yes.
And if you haven't seen Spinal Tap, I don't know who the fuck you are. Don't
those Christopher
don't bother.
Guest movies in general? Are
all of them.
Really funny.
Waiting for Guffman.
Best in Show. That's really funny.
Yeah, all of them. They're all funny. But the single funniest line, in my opinion, that I laugh at so hard every time is in the movie Spinal Tap, when they're standing outside of that little arena in the kids' area.
Uh-huh.
And it says, you know, clown show tonight, right? And or whatever it says about the kids. It's on the marquee. It says clown show tonight. And then Spinal Tap on the bottom.
Yeah.
And he says, I tell them every time, it's Spinal Tap, then clown show. Spinal Tap, then clown show. What are we going to do now? We're opening up. And the one guy goes, well, we could do Jazz Odyssey. He's like, we're not going to do a free form jazz exploration in front of a bunch of fucking children. I just can't get over it. Sometimes I'll say to Astrid or whoever, when we're having some kind of debate or argument, and I'm like, we can't do a free form jazz exploration in front of the children. I love it. It's so funny. Amongst all the other million other one-liners in that brilliant movie. Well, I never wanted there to be a Spinal Tap 2 because I thought Spinal Tap 1 did the trick. But 35 years later, they're going in for Spinal Tap 2 with all of the original cast members. Well, the original four cast members, the crew. I think including Rob Reiner. I think Rob Reiner is going to direct it. They're all back. They're all going to put gear up in their leather. What's that called? What was that? Spank the glove?
Or? Yeah, we have Spinal Tap action figures.
You do?
Jeff did, yeah.
Oh, my God. You know what to give me for Christmas.
Yep.
Spinal Tap action figures. And I want Jeff's, actually. So if you can take them off and just...
One leg keeps coming off. I have to keep gluing it.
What if you just take it apart piece by piece and you bring it to my house for Christmas? And then we'll see if Jeff notices.
Yeah, we'll Shawshank it.
That your Spinal Tap is gone. That's right, Shawshank it. Spinal Tap 2 is in pre-production right now. I don't know what to think about this because... You know, that Bob Iger, he's running that Disney right now, and Disney has all kinds of troubles financially and problems with the parks and all this other stuff. They're having a moment over there at Disney, the Disney Corporation. But he said in like a shareholders meeting, which I thought was pretty smart of him, but then also he should have thought about this 10 years ago. He's like, I think we may have IP'd it to death, meaning they have so many number twos, number threes, number fours, Star Wars this, Star Wars that, Galactic Galaxy this, Marvel that, all this other stuff. They have basically buried their IP in so many sequels, prequels, and trequels, or whatever the fuck they call them, that now they just robbed all the joy out of it, right? I watched Star Wars as a kid, and I just loved that my mind could go to crazy places thinking about what was going on outside of the movie. Well, now I don't need to worry about that because there is literally a movie for every question I ever had about Star Wars.
About like every character, and then it's before and it's after and it's in between. I know I'm the same way.
It's like we asked Felicia, like, you know, what do you think about fanfic, right? And fanfic has often become some kind of lure, some thread that they pull on that then becomes a movie or a television series to answer the questions left by the original material.
Yeah.
Well, I got news for you. You don't need to answer every fucking question. I find that to be a little bit too much sometimes, certainly with the Star Wars. And then I worry about it with like Spinal Tap 2. Can you ever really be better than the first one? Especially 35 years later. Maybe, because Christopher Guest is so fucking funny. Mm-hmm. So maybe they can be.
I'm going to watch it.
Oh, no doubt. I'll be the first one in line. Are you kidding me? I'm like a 13-year-old boy. I can't wait for Spinal Tap 2 to come out. But I'm a little bit concerned about the quality of Spinal Tap 2. I hope.
Yeah.
I hope. Elton John's already signed up to be in it. Nice. Who else did they say? Elton John, Sir Paul McCartney is going to be in it. So I would be in it. Hey, if you need, here's a plot line for you. Spinal Tap is on the way down. They're on the outs. They're getting back together 35 years, reunion tour, but no one really knows or gives a fuck about Spinal Tap. I'm imagining this is how it starts, right? This is my, in my head, this is what they're writing right now. If you need, since podcasting is so ubiquitously like terrible and wonderful at the same time, everybody hates them and loves them at the same time, and so many podcasts are out there, if you need like a thread to pull inside of that storyline, Spinal Tap announces their new tour on the commercial break, and no one hears about it. How about that? So, Rob, Christopher, I'm talking right to you. If you need a place to announce that Spinal Tap is going back on tour in your mockumentary.
To non-announce.
To announce to nobody that you're coming back. It will be the truth if you do come to the commercial break. So you won't be lying. It'll be a mockumentary moment of truth. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I'm hoping. Let's start a petition to get Spinal Tap 2 to the commercial break. Spinal Tap reunion tour, commercial break. Although I think they've already done a reunion tour. Didn't they go out on tour at one point? Like maybe like 10 years ago?
Maybe.
Yeah, they got the actual band together and they like went out there and did shows as Spinal Tap. I would love it. I'd absolutely love it. And listen, there have been a few sequels in movie history that have turned out okay. Like Empire Strikes Back.
Sure.
Some people think that's the best Star Wars movie out there. Not that I would know. I'm not that into it. Gremlins 2 was good. Rambo Part 7 was good, I thought.
Predator.
Predator 7 was awesome. Starring old Steven Seagal. Steven Seagal's ridiculous, by the way. I just got to tell you that.
Yeah.
I don't want to fuck with him, so I'm not going to talk too much shit, but he's ridiculous. Godfather Part 2,
well,
of course.
That was a real... Sure. Yeah.
I think that's a clear example of the best of the set,
yes.
Even though it was number two. You know, what other movies? My Little Ponies 2 was awesome. Or Trolls 2 was good. I got to say that. The kids' movie, Trolls 2.
Trolls 2.
Not the Trolls scary movie that we have often made fun of here on the commercial break. But Trolls, the actual cartoon. I thought it was good that my kids went and saw that Trolls band together when the NSYNC gets back together and does the song and the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
And the kids are running through the house singing that song. Cause I thought this song is not so good. Like, you know, it, for 15 years away from each other to come back to do a song for the Trolls movie. And they're all voicing some character in the movie. Like, I get it. Seems exciting. I think it could have been a good way to like reintroduce yourself into the world. And we're going to go on tour. We do this whole, you know, the reunion tour for NSYNC is coming. I realize Justin Timberlake is a bit out of style right now. And a lot of people are at his throat, but I got to be honest.
You think he would join the tour?
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, even though he's going on his own tour next year, it's not going to happen next year. I was reading about this. because, you know, I'm keeping up on all the NSYNC action. But he's going on tour. I think next year he's dropping an album, going on tour. So I don't think he's going to be part of that reunion if it happens next year. But there is no NSYNC tour without just reunion tour without Justin Timberlake. How are they going to sell out those big arenas? But if they do get back together, when they do back get back together, because you know they are, Justin is going along for the ride. There's probably $1 billion worth of money to be had left on the table selling out those arenas. Don't you think?
Maybe.
Did you like NSYNC? I don't even know one of their songs. I'm kind of embarrassed.
Yeah. Really,
well, Bye Bye Bye, is that the one? Bye 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 bye.
I think that
Never
might
gonna
be
give
Backstreet Boys.
Is that Backstreet Boys?
They were around the same time.
They were they were definitely around the same time. Yeah, I think they were both coming up under Lou Pearlman.
Oh God!
Anybody named Lou Pearlman is bound to be a creepball. Oh dude, he was crazy. But NSYNC is when they go on reunion tour, they're getting Justin Timberlake with them. And I'll say, I've said to myself, ain't going to happen with this Trolls movie. Like, I mean, that's not the thing that... And then I got these kids running around here singing this new NSYNC movie. So maybe they're reaching a whole new generation of fans.
They're being smart
about it. Mm-hmm. They got the older fans. They got the teenagers.
With the kids. And
now they got the kids.
The original fans, and then the fans had kids.
That's how you do it. That's how you get Taylor Swift famous. And I don't think anybody's going to be Taylor Swift famous. Let's just be honest about it.
She's Time's Woman of the Year. Person of the Year, I think.
Person of the Year. Yeah. Person. Who else would it be, though?
I know.
Honestly, who else would it be?
Yeah.
Who has occupied more of our brain space? And quite frankly, more of the commercial break than Taylor Swift has. Frankie B, maybe. I mean, everybody's talking about that girl 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. She got the best PR firm in the world. She's a badass bitch out there making a bunch of money, making everybody happy, or making most people happy if they can afford to go to her $10,000 concert. But the point is, of course it's Taylor Swift. Who else would it be?
Yeah.
There is no one else comparable. But if there was to be another person who was Time's Person of the Year, you know what it would be? Blair Saki. Blair Saki, the comedian, is coming on our show today, and I'm very excited.
I love her.
I watched her special last night. I had a ton of fun to watch. It's on Veeps, by the way. There's a link in the show notes, so I highly recommend that you go.
Veeps is the new Live Nation, right?
Yeah, Live Nation, like they do live shows, and then they record them.
They started a comedy channel.
Yeah, and it is brilliant. It looks like Apple TV. It really does. It looks like Apple TV when you're watching it. Live Nation, of course, you know, not going to do anything cheap, I guess, because they've made... Because the reason why the Taylor Swift's $10,000 tickets were so expensive is because of Live Nation. But that's a different story for a different day.
Yeah.
Veeps is their new platform. They've been doing music for a while. Now they've got comedy on there. And Blair's one of the first to do a comedy special on there. And we're super happy to have her
here today.
So why don't we do this? Let's take a little break.
Okay.
And then let's get with Blair so we can have a conversation. You're going to love this girl. Blair Saki on the way after this. What? Commercial breaks. Yeah, I did that.
I made that joke.
Yeah, I've been waiting 3 months to do that, but I finally got up the bravery. I got up the bravery to say that joke. All right, we'll be back.
Look, I know you guys are getting really sick of me, but that is too bad. It's my job. Now, go to tcbpodcast.com for all of our audio and video content, and get your little booty over to youtube.com/thecommercialbreak for fully edited video episodes. Want to chat? Leave us a voicemail at 626-ASK-TCB3. Too embarrassed for your voice to be on the show? We understand. Text us instead at 855-TCB-8383. Can't even do that? No worries. Just follow us on TikTok at TCB Podcast and on Instagram at The Commercial Break. And if you can't even be seen doing that, just listen to these sponsors and let's get back to the show.
Hey everybody, wanted to let you know that this episode is sponsored in part by Factor. Okay, do you want to know what the single biggest challenge for me as a single person was? Shopping for, prepping, and cooking nutritious meals. Do you want to know what the biggest challenge for me as a human with 25 to 60 family members living in my house? Shopping for, prepping, and cooking a nutritious meal. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, it's a big stress point around here. And since I don't really know how to cook, that stress often falls on other family members. But this holiday season, we're going to try something different. Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal delivery service, can help us fuel up fast for breakfast, lunch, and dinner with chef-prepared, dietitian-approved, ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to our door. Because Factor's never-frozen meals are ready in just 2 minutes, all you have to do is heat and enjoy. You can choose from over 35 weekly flavor-packed, fresh and never-frozen meals that support a healthy lifestyle and meet your meal preferences. And guess what? It's all delivered right to your front door. With Factor, we can be assured that we're making sustainable choices. They offset 100% of their delivery emissions and source 100% renewable electricity for their production sites and offices. Hey, look at that, a company who's trying to do some good. So head to factormeals.com/commercialbreak50 and use the code commercialbreak50 to get 50% off. That's code commercialbreak50 at factormeals.com/commercialbreak50 and get 50% off. We also want to thank Factor for being a sponsor of The Commercial Break.
And we're here with Blair now. Blair, so nice to meet you.
So nice to meet you guys. This is a thrill. Thank you so much for having me on.
You're welcome.
Thank you for joining.
I have one question. It's very important for Chrissy and I to understand this. You have an angle on something that we've been trying to get into for a long time. And it seems like you've had some success. And I want you to tell me how you did this. Chrissy and I have been trying to sell feet pictures for a long time.
We've talked about it for a long time. Like, shouldn't we just try it?
I actually started a Foot Finder account, like Feet Finder or whatever. And
Oh, you did?
Yeah, but I think my hairy toes weren't anybody's particular go-to foot pictures. No matter what I smashed.
You'd be surprised. There's so many freaks out there. I honestly had no idea.
How did you put feet on your Instagram? You talk about it in your special, which is on Veeps right now. Very funny. I watched it last night and I had a couple stitches in my side. How exactly did you get wrapped up in this foot thing? Explain to me how your Twitter did some kind of weird foot thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, I talk about it at length in the special, so go watch that. But, you know, it was just started as a joke. And I say this in there, but like, I had no idea the foot thing was real.
You didn't?
I just tweeted out one day because I just treat my Twitter as something very non-precious, silly. And I tweeted out, I said, on OnlyFans, does anyone know, can you just do feet or do you have to show whole? And I just walked away, didn't think anything of it. And I came back and it had like thousands and thousands and thousands of retweets.
Wow.
And I was like, I really was so perplexed. What's going on here? And then I read the replies and I was like, oh, this is a real thing that I was just joking about. And so, yeah, I started an OnlyFans within 45 minutes, and I titled it Blair Saki Ankles Down, No Hole, so that everybody would know. But then, you know, I had to take it down after 24 hours because my agents found out about it because it was all – I was, you know, pushing it all over my socials, having a great time. And they were like, yeah, this is great, except for, you know, you auditioned for Disney a lot. So I was only right. I had it for 24 hours only. My dreams were crushed.
And has Iger called you yet to explain to you why he's not hiring you in the next version of Star Wars, whatever they're doing now?
I have not gotten the call. I do think that that's probably, you know, they never found out about it. But I do mention this to my agents regularly. I said, okay, you know, my foot career was really stopped in its tracks and its infancy. So you better pay up with the Disney job.
That's right.
And did you, like, my genuine curiosity is, did you actually make money on OnlyFans when 25 hours of OnlyFans or whatever it was? Did you actually, like?
I did.
Holy shit.
Brian, we've got to do this.
Well, if you already have a little following, and then I just, you know, tweeted out these pervy men and they were like, they subscribed. I remember my manager being like, I'll pay you all the money that you made to take it down. I said, oh, my God.
You said, oh, my God, send me the check. That's what I would have done.
No, I didn't take the money because I'm too prideful. I should have, Bill.
Did you grow up? Where'd you grow up? Southern California?
Yes, how could you tell? I grew up in Orange County.
Little surf kid, you know.
Did you enjoy growing up out in Southern California?
Yeah, you know what? I'm the youngest, only girl of all boys, and my whole life was just hardcore sports growing up.
Yeah.
And then I took a dramatic turn into the arts.
How many brothers did you have?
I have two older brothers, 11 months apart, but like I grew up in this neighborhood of like 13 families with boys the exact same age as my brothers. So it was like this bizarre mob that I lived with like nobody else around my age, you know?
And when you were like, when you were a little kid, you just ran around with all boys in the neighborhood playing sports. And
yeah, it was like Mowgli, you know, I genuinely wanted to, my family still talks about this all the time. Like when I was a child, I always said I wanted to be the first woman in the NFL.
Oh,
nice.
It didn't, honestly, not all dreams do get to come true, but that was what I wanted.
I like
as
that
a child.
Aspiration.
But listen, yeah. You're auditioning for Disney, so maybe dreams do come true, as they say.
Yeah. Maybe I'll be Rudy in the next reboot or something.
Oh, such a wonderful movie. How do you take a turn into the arts? Like if you're sports oriented, what happens that turns you on to comedy?
Well, in Orange County, and I, you know, just everything, it was just so hardcore, the sports from such a young age. And, you know, I did love it. I did go on to play Division I volleyball at UCLA, and I was like training with like the junior national team and all this stuff. But when I was a kid, I always loved, like, I would audition for the plays at school and I would get parts, but I wouldn't be able to do it because of my sports schedule. And I was always a book nerd. And then I ultimately decided I wanted to be a writer. And I went to grad school to be a novelist. And while I was there, like, accidentally started comedy without ever, like, thinking it was going to be my career.
So you just got up on stage. Like, did you go to open mics and just decided you were going to get up and start writing some jokes?
As the tale as old as time, I started dating a guy who was starting comedy from my hometown. And he showed me comedy. I had never been exposed to really any comedy. No, like, specials, no shows, nothing. And then I just became a fan. And then we broke up. And then, like, one day in the shower, I had this thought, oh, I should do this. And then I started, like, you know, a week later or something.
Good for
Holy
you.
Shit. You're so brave.
Yeah.
I'm so lazy. What am I doing with my life over here? I always think about stand-up comedians who I have a great admiration for, no matter how wonderful or terrible or growing or not growing or whatever. I have an admiration for that 15 feet that you walk from the side of the stage to the front of the stage, or from the back of the club to the front of the club, whatever it is, that 15 feet would kill me. I don't know if my knees would let me get up there. And does that feel particularly unnerving to you? Like the first 100 times you do that, you still get that kind of like, take your breath away feeling before you walk on stage?
You know what? My leg shook for about the first 8 months, and people that were there at those first open mics, like, literally remember my leg shaking.
Oh, no.
While I was on stage. And I really don't know why I continued doing it while that was happening. I really don't understand the whole thing or how it happened or what. But that's nice that you admire stand-up comedians. You know, I feel a lot of the feedback on the internet is it's bizarre.
But I think here's, if I may, right, mansplain to you for a second. I feel like part of the issue is, because I love mansplaining here on the show, it endears me to our mostly female audience. I feel like in a lot of your material, you talk about, you know, reading comments and looking on the internet and being on the socials. You gotta fucking ignore those comments, man. People go fucking bananas there. They're so mean. People are so mean on the internet. They're so mean on social media.
Because they're behind a screen.
Yeah, that's true. They're probably also 13-year-old boys, so.
I know. I find that bizarre, and I actually talk about this in therapy. It's, you know what's funny is that, like, I get very few mean comments. Like, so few.
That's great.
But, you know, like, typical comedian, you, like, remember the mean ones. Thankfully, and, like, I don't even want to put this out there, the sick thing is, like, most of them are all about my voice, you know?
Yeah.
And then when I read those, my sick, sick, poisoned brain from childhood goes, ah, at least they didn't call me ugly. You know? Like, that's a win. Isn't that sick?
It's so true. So when Chrissy and I started the show, we had, you know, no listeners for the longest time. I'm not sure we have any currently, but somebody tells us we do. But we get these comments, and 99.9% of them are just lovely. People are good for the show. You're so funny.
Nice.
We love you. You wake us up in the whatever it is, right? But it's that one asshole every week or two that leaves that comment where you can't shake it out of your head. Even though you read 100 nice comments, the one bad comment always sticks with you. But you're right about something. I even try and find like the good in that.
Well,
like,
I'm trying to pull out the good of that. At least they're listening.
That's true.
Yeah. You know what another thing about it is to me? I think that it's less about even what they're saying and more like I cannot ever fathom going on someone's page and saying something mean to them. So it's really just a non-acceptance of the act versus actually the material of what they're saying.
That's really smart. Yeah. I've said the same thing. I'm like, the fact that they actually took the time to go on there and write something bad is amazing to me.
Yeah. I'm like, why would you want to intentionally hurt someone?
Because they're hurt.
I don't understand the
whole
thing.
Well, that's true.
Hurt people. That's I think someone said that one time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I honestly also believe that it is a large amount of probably younger people that are just have too much fucking time in their hands. They don't know how to regulate quite yet. So they feel like if I can say something nasty, then the whole world will know how bad they are. So I just ignore. Well, that's not true. I read the comments, but I try to ignore them.
I try so hard not to read any, you know. And now I did see this one creator or something on TikTok, because TikTok is the social media that I enjoy.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I love it. I mean, I've got the dogs, the babies, the chiropractors on there.
The chiropractors.
Like, I love it. I love it. And it's so non-toxic to me. Like, my feed is so wholesome. So and the recipes. I'm watching these women with their French music in their gorgeous kitchens with their Dutch ovens, you know? They're cutting the garlic in the most gorgeous ways. But I did see this one creator that said, yeah, we just respond thank you to every single comment.
Smart.
Like, even the meanest comments, and it just drives the algorithm. And I'm thinking, that's a beautiful sentiment. However, I do not want to be spending that much time online, but I respect that they're just like, oh, I will not take any of this personally, and I will use it.
Yeah, exactly. Good idea.
I got to talk to my therapist about that. I feel like I need a couple more therapy sessions around the comments section, because it does hurt. And I couldn't sit there all day and say thank you, because I just don't want to go through the act of reading all of it. Maybe that's why our social media does so pathetically poorly. So you have this new Veeps special. And like I said, I went and purchased it last night. It is so very good. How long does it take you to write an hour of that material? Like, how long have you been banking this around?
Well, you know what? I've been doing comedy for 10 years, and they say that your first hour special usually takes 10 years because there's so much material that was not included, you know, in that you develop over the years. So it's really like the most polished stuff, your best stuff. And there was a lot I didn't include. You know, there's things that I could have included that I had in, you know, like my late night set with James Corden or Comedy Central sets that were taped. And I really was so intentional about what I put in there. But yeah, I think most people like their best. It's the best stuff after about 10 years. That's why the debut special is such a big deal. And then everyone says that it takes way less long to write the material for the next special because you're just a much better writer and you're, you know, much more skilled.
Yeah, and it's in demand. You're under you're under a little bit of pressure
and you're
to,
in a flow.
To perform. Yeah,
you're in a flow too.
The flow, right, Chrissy. Yo. We're in the flow.
Yeah, and you know yourself better. You know, you are a more lived in person and probably more true to your authenticity and voice at this point, you know?
Mm-hmm. Chrissy, I feel like this is coming right around the corner for us. We're on our 62,000th episode, by the way. And so I feel like this is coming right around. No, I'm kidding. But
it feels
like we've been in here forever, stuck. I have to ask you about this because Chrissy and I have done a couple of episodes
on this Yahoo, Mark Sargent, who runs around doing the flat earth thing. Do you know what I'm talking about? And while I would love to have him on the show, I don't know that I could stomach anything that he says because it's just ridiculousness. Right. And Chrissy and I had this theory that Mark Sargent only believes in flat earth because he can find women there at these flat earth conventions. Because
yes,
he seems way too smart to believe in this shit, right?
Yeah.
And but he's kind of a nudnik. How did you meet Mark Sargent? Under what circumstances are you around Mark Sargent?
Sure. I mean, what a bizarre thing. So I was co-host of the Trevor Moore Show on Comedy Central.
Oh, yeah.
Rest in peace, Trevor, my dear friend who passed away 2 years ago. Incredible comedian. But the show was basically around Trevor loved like the weirdest stuff, like, you know, just the fringes of society.
Yeah.
So we had on the most bizarre people to interview. And we had him on. And he was really, like, you could go watch the episode if you want. It's online on Comedy Central called the Trevor Moore Show. But
I'm going to go watch
basically, that. I, you know, my role on the show was sort of like the needler. The little, like, sidekick kind of, like, needle bully kind of.
You were the
squeaky
wheel.
I don't know how, because I'm really not the bully type. But that was my role on the show, and I was kind of pushing back with him a lot of what he was saying. And that was true. He said to me that, like, you're too young to understand, like, why the earth is flat.
What?
And I was just like, I could not believe that that was, like, his
that
pushback.
Makes no sense.
Yeah.
It made no sense. I was like, oh, thank you. Like, you know, I really appreciate that. And you know what? It's funny that you bring up the women because he did talk about the merch that he sells, like, for an inordinate amount of time during the interview.
Yes.
And that's like, you're just like, okay, wow, what an incredible spiritually led cause are leading.
He's doing it for all of the right reasons. And Chrissy and I picked up on this immediately. Even 4 years ago when we started the show, we picked up on this immediately. He was talking about girls and how he was meeting girls or meet me after the show or whatever on stage in videoed YouTubed episodes that he posted himself. The merch, the conferences. Pay $19.99 a month. And I was like, this guy knows fucking better. He must know better. He is clearly just doing
persona.
This for money. But it's a persona. But I get the sense that there's a lot of people out there right now that know better about whatever they're talking about. They just know the money is in talking about the bullshit, right? So that's exactly what they do. And I believe that Mark is one of those people. But how condescending. You're too young. What he probably meant to say was you're too dumb to understand this. And there's nothing to understand. The world is round. We've been in an airplane. We can see it.
Yeah, we have satellite photography. I said that to him. I said, Mark, have you heard about a little thing called satellite photography? Because we have some factual record that disputes your theory.
Yes. Astronauts. But Mark has astronauts. Yeah. But Mark has
and
no
he just
repertoire.
All fake?
Well, what he says is that big space, you know, the big and NASA corporation is here to keep us all under control. Ugh. It just, when people are presented with factual evidence and they believe in this hokey-pokey bullshit, they go anywhere to twist and wind away from the question that you're asking them because they know they don't have any really good response. I say you're doing good work. You're not needling or bullying, Mark, in my opinion. You're just telling the truth. You're just trying to be the honest one.
Yeah, I mean, I say this in the special, but his answer, he genuinely said, because I asked him, I was like, okay, Mark, how come in the entire history of our planet has not one person walked off the edge of the earth, Mark? How come not one person has walked off the flat edge and fallen to their death? And he said, he genuinely said, oh, yeah, there's an ice barrier, so it catches them.
Oh.
And I was like,
well, it makes sense
now.
Thank you. There you
okay,
go.
Good.
Yeah.
Right.
It all came together in that moment. I had been a round earth guy until Mark said the ice wall. And I said, oh, now it all makes sense. That's what we've all been up against.
Then I understood.
Yeah. How did you, is your family, are they supportive of the comedy? Are they supportive of your artistic side, so to speak, even though they were big sporties
growing
interesting
up? Interesting question that you raised.
Thank you.
Well, I can tell you they did not like it. Yeah, and it was actually my parents' first time ever seeing me perform was at my special taping.
You were kidding me.
Wow, they came around finally.
I'm not kidding you. I mean, my brothers had seen me over the years, and of course I started in New York and lived there for about half of my career. So, you know, they wouldn't have seen me there. But, you know, they just, it's not what they wanted. They dreamed of me just being like married and pregnant, young, next door to them. And I'm very family oriented too. And as I age, I understand where they're coming from. And, yeah, they were like, why do you want such a hard life? And I'm like, I don't know. I can't really answer that for you.
Well, you're Italian too, right? Which is, you know, very family focused. I'm part Italian as well.
Yes.
And it is. It's a big deal to be around family and have big gatherings and cook lots of food and just, you know, all be around each other. So I can see that.
I go home on Sundays a lot and we cook all day.
Sunday
and
dinner.
Then, you know, I come back up. Yeah.
Yeah.
So is this literally like a push and pull through most of the 10 years that you've been doing this? It's like push and pull between you and your parents. Hey, I want to do this. And hey, you should go get a real job or find a real job.
It's what we've done with our spouses.
Yeah.
Brian.
By the way, we go through this all the time.
So, you should get a real job. Yeah. No, I think it's about to work.
Everything's going to pop for us.
Yeah, you know, I can't say it was easy. It was very painful at so many times. But, like, they were so proud at my special. Oh. My dad had tears in his eyes, which I can't even explain, like, what that was like after this, like, 10-year thing. And it took a lot of forgiveness. It was hard because, like, you know, this thing I felt so passionate about, like, it was hard to understand, like, why they wouldn't. I can't imagine not wanting to see my kid, but also it's, you know, it's generational.
It is.
Mm-hmm. And it's a different generation. And now I think everything's all good that they saw the special and they were like, okay, I guess it's like legit. But
yeah,
you know, it is hard. Like, I all the times I had been on TV in my career and they were still like,
wow, you were on fucking James Corden and they didn't tune in. I want to tell you something, a little something. When we started this, my father never said, I loved you, I'm proud of you. He just wasn't that kind of dad. He grew up in a different generation. I kind of thought maybe he did, but he wasn't giving me any outward indication. And then I had children, right? And occasionally my dad would say, I'm proud of you. You're being a good father. I'm really proud of you. But he never really loved what I did for a job. He was like, he never said I was proud of you until very recently when we've seen some success. And my dad came to me and he like genuinely said to me, with I think a tear in his eye, I'm really proud of you, son. You're doing a good
something.
Job. And let me tell you something. There were two full therapy sessions dedicated to that, those five words that he said to me. Because there's something about when a father, and I guess when a mother, but my mom always, you know, shared the praise. But when my father said that to me, there's really something about that that touches you in a way that it's hard to describe, especially if you've been starving for that for your entire life. Even if you don't know it, when you get it, it's like, holy shit, a whole nother world opens up. Mm-hmm. Honestly, now the earth is flat. My dad said he's proud of what I do for a living. Did you feel that?
Oh, that's so beautiful.
There's something about, I also think being a grandfather for him has turned him into like a different human being altogether.
Oh,
and it's one of the great joys of my life is watching my father be a grandfather to my kids. But when he shows up at your show, when they say, hey, we're going to come watch you. This is really important. And we think we want to be there. Does that just fill you with some weird sense of absolute pride and joy? You're like, oh my God, this is awesome. I feel so proud of myself now.
Well, look, I still had to invite them and say, hey, you know, which was very vulnerable to me.
Yeah.
This is my 1-hour special taping. I'd love for you guys to be there. It wasn't like, we're dying to, well, you know, when is your next thing? We can't wait to be there, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But they were so proud and supportive and sweet. And it was just really special. I have like beautiful pictures from the night.
Aww.
And,
I
you know, they
that.
Always, I've always been close with them. It's like, it's never been like we had a rift during the last 10 years,
yeah.
but I've always been super close to them despite this thing, but yeah, it was just so.
Despite most of my life being dedicated to comedy, well, they don't
probably
appreciate
too. Like, oh, this is like a hobby,
it's a
type
fan
thing. Yeah,
yeah,
she's gonna get over it. She's gonna, you know, do something else. But now that it's really real, that's a touching moment.
And,
for
and
you
now
guys.
Something makes sense. There's a certain lightning in a bottle kind of about what happens mm-hmm. on your special. There's an energy about it. And now knowing this story makes me look at that special a little bit differently, too. So now I feel a little bit sentimental
yeah,
about
you know
your
what?
Beef special.
It was like, I honestly forget that. Like, it was a really charged night for that reason, because it was honestly like the first time that they were seeing me. And also, you know, it was just, it was wild, like the emotions of that night.
Yeah.
It really was. Like, I haven't even kind of thought about that, I guess.
You caught lightning in a bottle. There's something energetically there. And now that I know the backstory, I think I think I can connect the dots, but I'm no therapist, but I'm just
Thank
sharing
you.
With you that there
That's-
is. It's very energetic, yeah. right? There's a lot of it. And we appreciate that, because there's nothing Chrissy and I do better than loud and obnoxious. And you're loud and funny. So we're almost in the same realm.
You know what? That's interesting. I do, like, I'm pretty introverted in my regular life.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a homebody, all these things. And I look at my onstage presence as sort of my id, where I'm just like a maniac on stage. You know, it's really different from who I am in real life.
Do you think this is like, I feel this way sometimes too. Like, I go outside in the world and I'm not looking to put on a show for anybody. Right.
Right.
I mean, I'm an outgoing person, but I think Chrissy would agree with this. Like, this is not how we normally act, but you turn on the microphones and our sense of humor gets exacerbated. There's a microphone and a megaphone.
We're egging each other on.
Yeah. We're egging each other on, but I feel it's like, it's in me. Like, mm-hmm. it's in me. And when the microphone goes out, it just naturally comes out. And it is the id, I think. Do you just get that sense? Let me ask you a question. When you're on the side of the stage and you're about to go on for your first special, is it like something just turns on? The energy just comes. You just feel it. You're getting yourself charged up. And then when you get out there and you see the crowd, I don't know. Do you go to some different place? Is there like a, like Chrissy said, the flow? You're in the energy. You're in the flow.
Sort of, yeah, I would definitely describe it as a flow. I mean, I've been on the road since January, and honestly, for the last like 5 years, but since January, I've been on the road about 3 weekends out of the month. And so my schedule this year of how many reps that I got, and just being on the stage and being at the Comedy Store when on the days that I'm back. I mean, I'm getting so many reps, I'm doing so many shows that it's more was before the show that I'm nerve-wracking, because I'm like, this is my first special, you know, all this stuff. But
sure.
once I'm on stage, I'm completely comfortable, mm-hmm. you know?
I love it. Go check out Veeps. We'll put a link in the show notes for you. You and I have something in common, and I'm going to pull out something from way back. I also I also am in love with Owen Wilson. You have to tell me, because I didn't get a chance to listen.
Yes!
Who is not in love with him?
Are you like a huge Owen Wilson fan? You must be. You dedicated a whole podcast to it.
You know what? I love Owen Wilson. This is crazy. I was actually, okay, well, I'll just give you the short synopsis. Basically, you know, like, I was in college around the height of his, like, Wedding Crashers, like, all this stuff. And I thought he was the funniest, most unique person. I was like, no one has his sensibility at all. Like, he's so, so funny and just one of a kind. And when he had those mental health problems and, like, you know, that suicide attempt or whatever, I was so struck by it. I mean, I'm very clearly very sensitive person, but
you're
I was
an empath.
So struck by it. I felt so sad that this person that I thought brought so much joy to the world could be experiencing that I wrote him a letter, like, saying, I hope you feel better. And, like, you know, you are so talented and you make such an impact on the world. And I just looked up an address on the internet, like the best one I could find. I'm sure he never received it. And then years later, somehow it came up to someone, and one of my friends were like, that is like so bizarre. And I was like, yeah, I guess it is really bizarre. And they're like, and then I thought of the idea, because like, this was back sort of, you know, when podcasts were becoming popular about like 10 years ago. And I was like, you know what? I would love to. And I was just finding comedy, and I loved like hearing comedians, you know, on podcasts versus learning who they were in real life versus like, you know, seeing them on stage.
Sure.
And I was like, I would love to hear comedians write letters. Everyone's a super fan of someone. I would love to hear comedians write letters to the person they're a fan of. And so then I started this show called Dear Owen Wilson, and comedians would come on and they'd read a letter, a funny letter to someone, you know, they're obsessed with or loved growing up. And then I would interview them with the help of my private detective Lucian Wickles. And it was a between two fern style interview.
I love that.
A lot of questions, you know, that Lucian thought of and that I would say. But yeah, it was interesting because Full Circle came to LA. Then Demi Moore happened to come to the show a few times. She texted him in front of me telling him about the show. And I just couldn't.
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
That's
and he said,
incredible.
I can't believe anyone comes to that typical humble Owen Wilson fashion. And then a month ago, I was at a party and he was there. My manager was like, you want me to go introduce him to you? And I said, no, I don't want that.
No, you don't want to meet your hero.
No, I don't.
You don't want to meet the guy who you made a whole podcast about.
No, I don't. I don't want to.
I don't blame you. If I love Owen Wilson. And when I saw that you had created this podcast, it reminded me that Owen Wilson, I don't know if you've seen the movie Bottle Rocket. Have you seen the movie Bottle Rocket?
Yes, of course I have.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you. So Bottle Rocket to me is the best Wilson Brothers movie ever. Period. End of sentence. And Owen is so brilliant in that movie. And I'd never heard of him. No one had ever heard of him, I don't think. But when I saw that movie when I was in my early 20s, some friend of mine put it on. It like literally changed my life. It changed the way that I looked at comedy. It changed the way that I looked
yes.
at comedic movies, because it is so dry and so witty and so you have to watch it 10 times to get every joke that's in it. It is so brilliantly made. And Owen, in my opinion, drives that movie. It's so he's so good at being like, I don't know. He's a character that has a lot of depth, but he's so dry and funny, and he always plays that similar type of character.
Yeah.
Owen is playing Owen, and I just love him for it. And I'm glad that he's better, too, because there was a period there where he might not have been doing so good.
I just saw him here in Atlanta.
Yeah, I met him in Atlanta one time, too. I think he's here a lot.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
What was he up to in Atlanta?
I think he was filming Loki, actually.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, he's so good.
Yeah.
You know what? I would love to meet him in a circumstance where it's like, you know, we are working together or something. I wouldn't want to just bother him at a party. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Right.
You wouldn't want to make small talk.
Hey!
Sure,
no, me.
Absolutely not. No.
But you got the perfect opening line. You just say, hey, you never responded to my letter.
Yeah.
And then you go from there. But I hear you. If I was in your shoes,
I would never
on the spot at a party.
That's right.
Then you, yeah.
The only way I would reveal that. Yes, the only way I would reveal that is if we somehow bizarrely became very close, and I think about 2 years into our relationship, I would say, I would tell him. You know, what's funny is like when I first started comedy, or before I started comedy, I was writing for this website, Splitsider, for like about 6 months, and I was interviewing comedians, like, you know, before they had a special come out, doing profiles on them, and I met a lot of the people that I know now, and they don't know that I interviewed them. I've been touring with Anthony Jeselnik for the past year.
Oh, I love
since
Anthony
January.
Jeselnik. Yeah.
For the last 12 months, I've been touring with him all over the country. I just told him last week. I said, do you know that I interviewed you 10 years ago when your TV show came out? And he goes,
what?
What?
Yeah.
Why are you just telling me this?
Do you know why I find this funny? Because 5 years from now, Blair's going to come on the show and we're going to have to remind her that we did the commercial break interview.
A few years ago.
Remember a few years ago when we had that stupid podcast? Yeah, I think.
No way, I'll never forget you guys. I will never forget you guys, no matter what.
We love you. We love you. Best to you. You're touring with Anthony and then you tour with Ron a lot also, don't you? Or you do a podcast
with
Ron?
Yes. Oh, I don't do a podcast, but, you know, we've been friends for years. He was the first guy to take me on the road. And, I'm sort of, you know, it's headlining time now.
Yep.
But I've been so grateful to be on the road with some of the best in the business and be taken under the wing of some really good people. Because, you know, it's not like that for everyone. And a lot of people have stories about, you know, especially women, with, you know, in the road and, you know, people like that. And I have just been so lucky and blessed with the people who have believed in me and kind of helped me along.
I feel like when we talk to the comedians who succeeded, they all have someone who took them under their wing.
Yeah,
and then I know a lot of people who are still doing open mics 10 years later who have nobody taking them under their wing. Yeah. I mean, there might be a reason for that too. Not everybody can be Babe Ruth, right? But at the same time, it feels like there's always that important mentor story in comedy. And I think when you're on the road, you're vulnerable, you're learning, you don't know the ropes, you're trying to just, you know, make it from one, you put one foot in front of the other, make the new joke, make the next thing. And if you have somebody that's next to you that's saying, here, let me tell you my version that made it a little bit easier
in
for
your
me
corner.
Yeah, the champion in your corner. And I think that that in the comedy world, even though we're not in the stand-up comedy world, I feel like the comedians that we do interview always have a good mentor story, right? They always have someone that was behind them, that gave them their first break or took them under their wing. So how long does the tour go on for? Like, are you in the middle of it right now? Do you take a break for the holidays and then you get back on the road?
This is my this coming weekend will be my last date with Anthony. I mean, we've been going since and it'll be in San Diego. I think it's sold out, unfortunately. Otherwise, I'd say come on down to the commercial break listener.
Yeah.
But yeah, this man is a beast and has sold out like thousands and thousands of tickets. But that's the conclusion of that. I'm honestly, I'll be on the road next year, but I'm hoping a little less. Mm-hmm. This year kind of was insanity, but it ended up being great for shooting the special. But, you know, I do a lot of voiceover. I'm always auditioning for acting and writing and hoping to do some more of that as well this year.
And so...
Well, best to you.
Yeah, best to you. When you go...
That's our tagline.
Yeah. We just say it to each other for ridiculous reasons. When you are on the road, is that tough for you? Like being out on the road?
3 weekends every month. Yeah, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I will just say it was a lot. I mean, and I was on the road in basically the best circumstances that you could be in.
Sure.
But still, it's that amount of travel. And then you come home for 2 days and you like... You know, you do your gym, you do your laundry, you do your, and it's all jammed in your auditions. It's all jammed into 2 days. It's hard. It is hard to go for that long, that much travel.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. You need like a buffer. You need some buffer days to like lay in bed and watch TV.
I feel like I'm
going to take 2 weeks off and just rest. Yes. I really need it. I really, really need it.
Good for you. If you feel like you want to do something at 2 weeks off, you feel free to come sit here and do this microphone so I can take 2 weeks off. Because I'll tell you what, if I take a freaking shower in the morning, sometimes I feel accomplished. I got so many children, I don't know what to do with. And I travel and I'd always need a vacation from my travel because I always feel like it exhausts me, right? It's of planes and trains and automobiles, and then I'm like, God damn, I do this once a year and I feel like I want to take another week off just to get myself reset. I don't envy that travel part of it, because the other thing too is it's not like you're going to, you know, Paris to go sightseeing. You're going to do a job, and you do it usually probably later in the evening, so you see the inside of a hotel room. That's exactly what you inside of a hotel room and a couple bars, living out of a suitcase.
Yeah, like 2 weekends ago I did 3 cities. Like, we did Portland, Seattle, Vancouver within 3 days. So it's just you wake up and travel to the next and then do that show. And then, you know, so it's not a lot of sightseeing. And Anthony always says it's like I get paid to travel because the shows are so fun. You know, the shows are great. It's just the travel part that is hard.
It's a lot of shit punctuated by a little bit of fun at the end of each evening.
Yeah.
Well, at least you know the places you want to go back to, right? Maybe as you're traveling through some of these places, then you could go back to them on actual vacation.
That's right. If and when... if and when you get there,
like
family,
Vancouver,
your mom.
For instance, I'm going to Vancouver soon, and I can't wait.
It's going to be Vancouver's going to be beautiful.
Yeah.
If and when you get there,
I've never been. It was gorgeous.
Oh,
that's what everybody says. They say that Vancouver is one of the cities that you absolutely have to go to. The Veeps special is available on the Veeps website. We will have a link in the show notes to it. And I got to tell you, I caught it last night. It was really funny. It's an hour of... You're a different kind of comedian, and I really appreciate what you're doing on stage.
Yeah, it's a fresh take.
Yeah. And so for all those who want to make comments about her voice, she was born with it. What do you got? What do you fucking want her to do? I mean, honestly. And
you gotta
own it. With the voice comments.
I think the voice is like a musical punctuation to your comedy. I don't think it's distracting. I think it at times actually makes the joke even funnier. So
yeah.
Go check out the Veeps special. It's incredible. We loved it. Blair, will you come back and see us sometime?
It would be my highest honor to return. I am so grateful to have had this opportunity to meet both of you, and I had such a nice time. And thank you so much for watching the special. That means so much to me. Put my whole heart and soul and last decade of my life into it. So I'm just so grateful to you guys.
Now, you lazy listeners out there, you got to go and check out her special. Do us a favor. Check out the special. It's worth it. Link in the show notes. And we'll talk more about it over the next couple of days. Blair, we say this always. You're a friend of the commercial break. Best to you.
Best to you.
Thank you. And also with you.
Yes, thank you.
Look, I know you guys are getting really sick of me, but that is too bad. It's my job. Now, go to tcbpodcast.com for all of our audio and video content, and get your little booty over to youtube.com/thecommercialbreak for fully edited video episodes. Want to chat? Leave us a voicemail at 626-ASK-TCB3. Too embarrassed for your voice to be on the show? We understand. Text us instead at 855-TCB-8383. Can't even do that? No worries. Just follow us on TikTok at TCB Podcast and on Instagram at The Commercial Break. And if you can't even be seen doing that, just listen to these sponsors and let's get back to the show.
Wow. I loved Blair.
Oh,
Blair
my
was awesome.
She was amazing.
I mean, listen, I've loved all the guests that have been here
so far. They really have all been really great.
Well, the good news is we've been blessed enough to be able to say yes or no. So when we have somebody on, you know, we probably have a premonition that we're going to like Like I'm sitting here like Teresa Caputo having a premonition. We probably have a premonition that we're going to like them. But Blair was fantastic. And that story about her dad honestly makes me want to go watch the show in a different light. That's such a good feeling when your dad says I'm proud of you. And I lied. My dad's never said I'm proud of me. So I just said that story for effect. No, I'm just kidding. My dad
said he did.
He said I was proud of you. And honestly, it brought a tear to my eye. I was like, wow, my dad said he's proud of me about something that doesn't have to do with nothing I had control over, like the personality of my children. You know what I'm saying? That wasn't happening. But go watch Blair's special on Veeps. Again, there's a link in the show notes. We would appreciate it. She would appreciate it if you would go watch that special because, you know, that's how they get paid. I'm sure there's some kind of, I don't know, split on that or something that Veeps does. And why won't Veeps have the commercial break on, do you think?
Soon. I can only imagine.
Can we talk to Jeff? He must know some people at Live Nation, doesn't he? Doesn't he have a Live Nation connection somewhere there?
Yeah, he does.
Do they do the ticket handling for Memfo?
Yeah, well, yes.
Yes. Okay. That's the answer. Okay. Yeah, I got it.
Kind of. Yeah. There's so many subsidiaries of
There's companies upon companies upon companies.
But it all does lead back.
Yeah. Is he already getting ready for Memfo number 2?
Yes.
I mean, Memfo number 5 or whatever it is, Memfo number 6. He is. God bless that. That sucks that you get done with one and then you got to worry about the next one immediately the next day.
That's a lot.
You're
going
still
on.
Wrapping up. Yeah. Thank God we have a lazy job like this where we just come in and talk on the microphone, shut it off, go home.
Yes.
It's not true. This stupid show takes so much work. Just like Blair's comedy special took her 10 years.
10 years.
10
she said.
Years yeah. to make her material. She said it's kind of like a cliche or a saying in the comedy industry that it takes 10 years to get your first special worth of material, and then you kind of quicken up after that. So if it's going to take us 10 years...
Get in the flow.
I think we're going to be at the Villages before we're actually in the flow.
We are.
Don't you imagine the Villages is right around the
corner?
Skid
right into the Villages.
Skid right into the Villages is right. Skid right into the Villages with my... you know, my big boy panties on already.
In her cup.
Hey, listen, there's only so much that I can do, Chrissy. There's only so much that I can do. Hey, I wanted to take a minute and I wanted to say thank you to everybody who has left those kind reviews in the year of 2023. Everyone who's texted us and everyone who sent us a voicemail. It's Christmas. It's the holidays. We're going to take a break. We'll keep on bringing you fresh episodes, but we're going to take a break. So I thought before we exited for the holiday season, I did want to let everybody know that we love you. Thank you so much.
We
the commercial break
it.
Has had one hell of a year in so many different ways. Lots of highs, lots of lows, lots more lows. Still waiting for some more highs. But we have had one hell of a ride, especially this year in 2023.
Yeah.
And it's largely due to the fact that you keep listening. Whether you like it or not, we keep putting out these episodes. So I did want to say thank you
before
we get out of here for the year. Okay. That's it. As Blair Saki would say, what would she say?
That's a wrap.
That's a wrap. There you go. She's in the biz. She's in the biz. I still wish we could get that feet finder thing going on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we need to check into that. Goals,
you got
goals for 2024.
The commercial break foot page on Feet Finder.
Mm-hmm.
Because if Blair made money in 24 hours on her feet, you can make money in 24 hours on your feet.
Yeah, let's do it.
Now, she actually has people that follow her Instagram, so there might be a little bit of a dip. We might have to ask Blair to promote it for us. So do us a favor. Before the end of the year, go hit those socials and that YouTube account. You can also go to the website, tcbpodcast.com. More information about the show, all the audio, all the video right there from one location. We made it easy for you, tcbpodcast.com. You can also get your Piggy Fronting sticker. That's right, your Teresa Caputo Piggy Fronting sticker. To be clear, I did not use her image or her likeness or her name on that sticker. And I'm giving it away for free anyway, so who really gives a shit? Hit the Contact Us button on the website. Drop-down menu, I want my sticker. Send us your physical address. Whoop-de-dip-de-doo, it's on the way via the magic of USPS. Who's working extra hard. You know what my wife did? She set up a little stand outside for the delivery people.
That.
I thought that was so nice of her.
I loved it.
I know.
Got some little chips and refreshments, bottled water.
That's right. It says, hey, delivery people, you did a great job this year. Take a break on us. I think they're afraid it's poisoned because I don't find a lot of them taking it.
They're probably like, is this a joke?
Yeah, is this a joke? Is there LSD in here?
There's the camera.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't take any either.
Yeah.
But it's the thought that counts, and I get to eat all the leftovers. So don't worry about taking them. Add the commercial break on Instagram. TCB Podcast on TikTok. Please go follow us. And YouTube.com/TheCommercialBreak for all of our interviews, clips every day of the show. And you can do us one last favor this year. 626-ASK-TCB3. That's 626-ASK-TCB3. Toll free from anywhere in the world. Questions, comments, concerns, content ideas. Ask Brian's mom. We're taking it all at 626-ASK-TCB3. Okay, Chrissy. That is certainly all I can do today. Got to go waste my balls. But I love you.
I love you.
Best to you.
Best to you.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I always say, we do say, and we must say,
goodbye.
Cow-killing bastard.